52 Reading Plan, Audio Edition, Day 17. In today's reading, we will be in Luke 6, verse 17 through Luke 8, verse 15. That's Luke 6, verse 17 through Luke 8, verse 15. Before we begin today, let's start in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to read, to listen to your word. I pray that your word will have its way in our hearts and in our minds, and that you would change us from the inside. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's begin here. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 through Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Today's reading will be coming out of the New Living Translation. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him, because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God bless you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets the same way. What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Man, let me just stop right there. I know we've always heard that, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard that verse that quoted, do to others as you would like them to do to you. You know, that's a very key verse there. Great principle to live by as well. Just want to say that in passing. Let's continue on. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Listen to verse 35. Love your enemies. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Love your enemies. Not those who love you. Love your enemies. Love those who don't love you. Love those who talk about you. Love those who are gossiping about you. Love those who are speaking evil about you. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to them. You know, some of the times the good you could do to those who don't like you or who's talking bad about you is to pray for them. Pray for them. I know that sounds weird, but you never know what's going on in someone's life. So pray for them. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. But he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Press down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Let me just pause right there. Jesus says, don't worry about the speck that's in your neighbor's eye, in your friend's eye, when you got a log hanging out of yours. See, that is where prayer comes. That is one of the main things that prayer does. Prayer changes us. How does that happen? See, prayer changes us from the inside out. When we spend time with God, when we spend time in prayer and reading God's word, we start to see the log that's hanging out our eye. We start to see the things that are unpleasing in God's sight that's in us. So we start to see those things. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, I'm going to need you to focus in on you and listen to me and the things that I'm telling you that you need to do. Let's continue on. Verse 43. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Let me just stop right there. You know, if you go back up and you think about this, you look at verse 37, do not judge others and you will not be judged. And then if you come down and you look at verse 43, a good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Those two can appear as if they're contradicting each other. But I take verse 43 as an interpretation of verse 37 because, listen, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. What's in the inside is going to dictate how you act. What's in the inside, that Jesus inside of you, is going to dictate how you act. How you act, not at church, not on Wednesday night in midweek when you got your hands raised and you praising the Lord. No. See, how you act on Wednesday or Sunday is the same way that you act on Monday. See, how you worship on Wednesday is the same way you are on Thursday, whether you are in the worship center or you're working out. It doesn't matter. You are the same person. See, that good tree produces good fruit. See, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. All right, let's continue on. Verse 44, a tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, listen to this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say, the things you say, flow from your heart. See, Proverbs tells us that guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the springs of life. I think that's Proverbs 4:23, but don't quote me on that. But see, from your heart is the things that come out of your mouth. Out of the heart proceeds the words of the mouth. Let's go on. Verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. Think about that for a minute. If you have any experience, a house or apartment, wherever you may live, everything is about that foundation. That foundation. See, he says, a person who comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep. Think about that. He said he digs deep. No. He's not shallow. He's not right there on the ground. He's going to dig deep. He's going to spend time. He's going to dig deep, get the soil right, get down there and get a good foundation so that when the wind comes, when the flood waters rise, see, when things are not going right, he got a foundation to stand on. Let's continue on. Chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, a highly ranked and valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officer, and I have authorities over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friend returned to his house, they found the slaves completely healed. Soon afterwards, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored the sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, "Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury are found in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messengers ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is." When they heard this, all the people, even the tax collectors, agreed that God's ways were right, for they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in religious law rejected God's plan for them, for they had refused John's baptism. Let me just stop right there and make a quick note. Everything that has happened, Jesus talking about John, the Pharisees and the experts in religious law, they still reject it. You know, you could share the gospel with somebody and they could see it. But man, it's like their heart is just hardened and they reject God's plan. I would tell you, continue to pray for that person. Let's continue on. Verse 31. "To what can I compare the people of this generation?" Jesus asked. "How can I describe them? They are like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends, 'We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs and you didn't weep.' For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feast and drink, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who live. Man, Jesus, he used a parable, just a way of teaching, to teach a very important thing. He said, man, regardless, he's like, y'all are just not getting God's message. Hey, here's what John the Baptist did, and y'all said he was possessed by a demon. Hey, he didn't spend his time eating and drinking, but y'all say he was possessed by a demon. Here's the Son of Man came here, and the Son of Man, he said the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. He said, man, regardless of what God sends y'all, y'all are not looking, y'all are not trying to understand. Y'all have it made up in y'all mind what the Messiah is going to do, going to look like. And if it doesn't meet that, if it doesn't match up to that image that y'all have in y'all mind, it is not the Messiah. Let me just say this real quick. Be careful of dictating how God moves. Be careful with what you think or the vision that you have of how God is going to move, because God doesn't the way God moves is not how we think he is going to move. And if you're not careful, you will miss it. You will have it in your mind. Okay, I know, man, God is going to move, and this is how God is going to move. And you're looking for that, but that's not how it works. So you have to stay sensitive to the Spirit of God. How do we do that? Staying in the Word, staying in prayer, and staying around other godly people. All right, let's continue on. Verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Chapter 8. Soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and disease. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seeds fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plants soon wilted and died for a lack of moisture. Other seed fell on thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plant. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scripture might be fulfilled. When they look, they really won't see. When they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seed that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Well, as we close out, let me just make this statement. Which seed are you? As you think about it, I'm going to sum this up. Which seed are you? Jesus said, and I want to read this one more time, and I want you to think about this. Under the title, "What seed am I?" He says the seed is God's word. Should I say, what path are you on? He says the seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil. So we have the footpath. Now we have the rocky soil that represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Man, they are happy to hear. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. Okay, so that's the rocky soil. Okay, so are you rocky soil? So we've covered the footpath, and now we looked at the rocky soil. All right, so we could go on there and look. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns. So now we have the thorns fell among the thorns. Says the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seed that fell on the good soil, that represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce and harvest. So we have four types of paths there. We have four types of paths or four types of soil, however you want to look at it. We got the footpath, we got rocky soil, we got thorns, and we got good soil. Which one are you? And why? So as you journal your thoughts, I just want you to reflect on that text of scripture. Which are you? I pray that you're that good soil. Because that's where we need to be, that good soul. But let's just be honest. So many times with those thorns, the cares of life, the allure of wealth, the allure of friendship, the allure of wanting to fit in, be popular, we fall among the thorns. But I pray we'll be that good soul. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers of your word, in Christ's name. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today. Man, just continue to work through your journal. And I pray that this reading has blessed you. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you later.